Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing this very important issue about whether bittul is reversible. And we discussed last time that, again, this question about whether bittul is reversible is very much dependent on the nature of bittul. As you pointed out yesterday in the Rishonim, if you accept the bittul midin hefker approach, if you think that bittul works midin hefker, so then it's a davar pashut that bittul is reversible, just like hefker is reversible. Just like when it comes to hefker, when you're mafker an item, you declare an item ownerless, you have the easy ability to quickly reverse that maisa hefker by just reacquiring the item which you were mafker. So too by bittul, right? We saw in the Rishonim, if you hold that all bittul is some form of hefker, so then you can easily undermine the bittul by simply reacquiring the chametz after you had been mevatel. So that's what we saw yesterday, that basically all the Rishonim, you know, within the Hefker approach basically say, you know, b'pe'echad, that bittul is going to be reversible by simply the person simply reacquiring the item. But what is not simple is when you analyze this question about the reversibility of bittul within the Afra da'ar approach. And then we're going to see right now that there's a big machlokes within the Afra da'ar approach about whether bittul is reversible. And we're going to start with the group of Rishonim who say that bittul cannot be reversed. Again, the following group of Rishonim hold that bittul cannot be reversed within the Afra da'ar approach. So who is probably the most famous shita in the Rishonim who holds this? Who said that? Good, exactly, is Rashi. So if you turn to Rashi on Vav Amud Beis, again, I feel like we've seen this Rashi like five different times, just from like, hopefully, from five different angles. This Rashi is very, very crucial from a lot of different, you know, standpoints. So if you look at Rashi on Vav Amud Beis, Dibro Maschel V'Daito Alei, Rashi is going to clearly state that bittul is irreversible, and that's why it's going to work in the case at hand. So the background of the Gemara, that the Gemara says the reason why you need to do bittul post bedika, right, bodek sarshi vatal, is because shema yimsa gluska yafe v'daita ilave. Yitzi, according to Rashi, what is Rashi's understanding of v'daita ilave?
It's important to him and it gets him on
out. Exactly. It's important to him right now. Exactly. So since Rashi understands that daita ilave is that it's important to the person right now when he finds it, so if you make the proper cheshbon, the Gemara then says that the way to neutralize that chashash of the person having das on it b'shas mitzia is by performing a bittul originally. So if you cheshbon out the sugya, even if Rashi didn't explicate this, it would be clear. According to Rashi, it comes out of the sugya that if bittul is going to neutralize the chashash of daita ilave, which is a chashash that the person is going to have das on it when he finds it, it must be that bittul is irreversible. Because what other way would bittul be able to neutralize the chashash of shema yimsa gluska v'daita ilave, if not for the fact that once you did bittul, it doesn't matter what your das is later, it doesn't matter that your das later was daita ilave, because as long as you did bittul, bittul is reversible. That just comes out of Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. But because Rashi is very helpful to us, he even explains this. Right? If you go to Rashi V'daita Alei, Danny, would you mind reading it?
Chashuva hi be'ino, v'chasa le'el sorpa. So it's considered important in his eyes, and he's careful not to burn it.
Exactly.
U'masha hi rega echa, dinsa over alev v'vali yura v'vali matze. And if he waits even one moment, he will be over and by Rabbi Matzei. But when he's mevatelit, he's not over on this Isser of Rabbi Matzei, because the pasuk says Tashvisu, which is Hashvas Relay, which is
Bittul. Excellent. Right, so Rashi tells us that even though the chashash is that the person's going to have das on it, delay, right, the Srefa, and thereby violate Rabbi Matzei in that interim period, but says Rashi, the bittul originally is going to neutralize that. And Rashi then tells you, and don't worry about the fact that post-bittul, right, you performed your bittul on Leil Yudalid, but now, afterwards, and right, even though on Leil Yudalid you had the perspective of Afra Da'ara, but Rashi implicitly is asking himself, but wait a second, but right now it's Daita Ilave. Right now, he's changing course. Right now, instead of looking at the chametz as Afra Da'ara, he's now looking at it as a Gluska Yafe, which is Daite Lave, which is Chashiv in his eyes. So why isn't it reversed? Why isn't that going to reverse the Bittel? Says Rashi, very important, to Lo Kasav Ella Tashbisu. Says Rashi, right, the Raya, the Hechrech, that Bittel is irreversible within the Afra Da'ar approach, says Rashi, is the fact that the Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara was Mekayim Tashbisu. Very important. Says Rashi, by implication, that if Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara wasn't Mekayim Tashbisu, then Rashi would be open to a Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara being reversible. Because originally he viewed it as Afra Da'ara, but now he doesn't. But says Rashi, once that original Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara was Mekayim the Mitzvah Saseh of Tashbisu, so then that cannot be reversed. In Rashi's worldview, it's not possible to have a Kiyum Mitzvah one moment and then have that Kiyum Mitzvah be undermined, like in a sense, Lamafra. So therefore says Rashi, once I, Lishitasi, exactly, Danny said, hold that Hashpasa, believe Havi Hashpasa. Once I hold that Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara not only neutralizes Bayar Bay Matze, but also is Mekayim, the Mitzvah's Aseh Tashbisu, it can't be that that's reversible. Lo Yitachin, impossible that a Mitzvah, the Kiyam Mitzvah of Tashbisu, can then be reversed at a later point in time. So again, very important that Rashi within Afra Da'ara is saying that it's irreversible, but specifically because of his other shita that the Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara is Mekayim Tashbisu. Otherwise, the implication is that Rashi would have been open to even the Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara being reversible, but because it's Mekayim, the Mitzvah Saseh Tashbisu, Rashi says impossible that you were Mekayim and Mitzvah Saseh one moment, and then because of something you did later, you ended up undermining that Bittel. That Kiyum Mitzvah, my friend. So that's Shita's Rashi. No questions? Okay. That's pretty good. Right? So again, the first Rishon within, again, this first take, or again, this first approach within Afra Da'ara is that Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara is irreversible, is Shita's Rashi, again, who specifically ties it to the Kiyum of Tashbisu. Oh. The next, I know, Shita, who holds that Bittel Midin Afra Da'ara is irreversible, is the world's famous Deya in the Michtam. If everyone can turn to the Michtam, if everyone has a kovetz, is a wild shita quoted by the Michtam. Very important. The Michtam ends up rejecting this. It's generally quoted as the famous Michtam in Psachim. It ends up being Michtam doesn't agree with it, but he quotes it. So again, the very important Deya, which is nogea very much to our discussion right now. So again, very important. Again, it's in the Michtam here, and this day in the Michtam is in the context of this very important Gemara in Vav Beis of Chashash Shem Yimsa Gluska Yafe Vedaitei Lave. But instead of Rashi, who interprets Vedaitei Lave as an issue of Bayar Bay Matze, the Michtam understands that what's the issue of Vedaitei Lave? And remember? Yiziv? Achila. Says the Michtam, and he accepts this as well, that Vedaitei Lave, the Chashash, is that you're going to find this Gluska Yafe, and then you're going to eat it. Once Daita Ilave means you're going to eat it, so now the big question is, if the Chashash is that you're going to eat it, so then how is the original Bittel going to solve that problem? Like, we know that Bittel solves Bayar Bay Matze, but we never really found that Bittel is going to solve the Isra Achila. So the big question is, how, right, if Daita Ilave is a Chashash Achila, so then how is the original Bittel going to solve that problem? So comes along the first Deya in the Michtam to connect those dots in a very mechudash way. I'm Avi. Would you mind? After the big night you had last night, right? Yeah. See, first, is he Dima Maschal Amarava? Okay, right. So Pirish, what's the pshat? What's the chashash of Daiti Lave? Right. So what's the chashash? Exactly. So says the Mechtam, the issue at hand is Achila. Now the question is, how in the world does performing Bittel on the Leil Yudalid going to solve this Chashash Achila? So says this first day in the Mechtam, wild Chiddush. Stop there. But once you did Bittel and what?
You made
it dust, right? Clearly adopting the Afra Da'ar approach. Again, afilu achla, even if you eat it, it's as if you're just eating afar, and it's putter and it's mutter. Wild, wild shita, which says that once you do bitul midin afar da'ara, once you transform the chametz into dirt, it's now mutter to eat, because you're just eating dirt. Right? So this shita, which we'll analyze in a moment, is clearly assuming, right, that bittul, midin afar da'ara, is irreversible. Right, there's no better way, right, there's no stronger way to reverse your bittul than eating it, right? What better demonstration of the fact that you no longer view it as afar and you now view it as chametz than eating it? But yet, says the Mechtam, once you transform the chametz into afar, irreversible. Once you turn it into dirt, it's dirt forever, no matter what you do. Therefore, even if you eat it, it's still defined as afar, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Right? So again, in addition to Rashi, right, this Michtam is the second Rishon who clearly says that bitul midin afar da'ara is irreversible, and he says it in an even more, right, extreme way than Rashi, by being mater of the achila. Right? Now we'll just, yeah, Efrain? That it's mutter to eat? No. Okay, so let's just analyze all the assumptions of the Michtam, and we'll see that Rashi can have some easy ways out. Yeah.
So we say with the Rashi that the only reason Rashi would hold is because of the way he's magnified. So this fit with the Michtam also.
You're saying would that?
Meaning
the Michtam never invokes that.
Right.
Yeah. So, you saying that's another difference?
Yeah, and then why would this day of the Michtam say something like this?
Yeah, so this day of the Michtam, yeah, so that's a good ha'ara, point well taken, that while I was making a big deal of the fact that Rashi, right, justifies the irreversibility of the bittul by saying, oh, it's all because you're Mekayim Tashbisu, the Michtam makes no reference to the Kiyum of Tashbisu. Right, the Michtam, this Deya, sorry, in the Michtam, seems to be very clear. And he says, once you transform the chametz into afar, done. That is now the definition. You have now redefined the chametz as afar from here on out, and therefore that's irreversible, irrespective, right, without coming onto any factor of tashbisu. He's just of the opinion that if you think that bitul midin afar da'ara works, so then, you know, go with it. And once, if it works to transform it into afar, so then, once you do it, you know, it's so strong that you can't take it back. I guess the point is, I guess on Erev Pesach, you have the ability to, I guess the role of Erev Pesach is to, like, define your stance in regards to the chametz. Like, I guess that's the purpose of, like, Erev Pesach and the preparations for Pesach, is that you have the ability to, like, how do you relate to chametz? That's your opportunity. And the point is, once you perform bittul and you take that opportunity and you say, my stance for Pesach is defined as chametz is dirt, so then you've defined it for all of Pesach. So again, it's not totally, you're asking, oh, why isn't every moment should be its own new dion? Answer is no, Erev Pesach is, you know, is a time where you define your relationship to the chametz moving forward throughout the Chag, and once this person said, yeah, for me, chametz is dirt, so that's going to be kobeah for the entire Chag. That seems like the idea. It's a chiddush. Well, this day in the Michtam is a lot of chiddushim, so add that to the list. But yeah.
According to the chashash of Achila, wouldn't it just be more simple for the Gemara to say, Shneim Tzibus Vepepe Yochlana? It seems like it's just adding extra shit, it's not by some gratitude.
I hear. You're saying, yeah, I mean, they're just going to say, oh, meaning you're going to have das on it, i.e., to eat it. But I hear. I mean, you could have also asked, you know, for Rashi, why doesn't it just say umasha, you know, below the sorfa? I'm saying, it's pretty vague, that's all I'm saying. Meaning, the language of v'dayti leve is pretty ambiguous. So it's hard to move a dayak from that ambiguity, dafka, in one direction or the other, because it doesn't really say anything. Yeah.
Because you're so subjectively assuming this piece of chametz is afar, that objectively becomes afar,
Or that for you, I'm not sure where you stuck in the objectively part.
Let's say somebody else eats that piece of clump. Is he still over?
Of course.
And it's not like after the arrow for everybody.
No, so it seemed like it's just subjective to you. Yeah, sorry, that's why I was... Now I understand, Lamafreya, why you used the word objective. But now you understand why I was bothered by that. Okay, yeah.
Why is it to say that Mechtam really needs more carbs? Because Mechtam clearly needs more carbs.
You mean this day,
yeah?
Yeah. Actually, I don't think the Mechtam would appreciate that, given the force with which he rejects the Shita. I'm saying he doesn't say it.
But he needs more carbs for such a condition. Actually, he has more carbs for such a condition.
I'm saying he could be just Misvara. Meaning, he's saying once bittel midin, once you accept bittel midin afer da'ara, that's going to work for the entire Pesach. So maybe the point and the zman to, you know, to do that bittel is our Pesach. Maybe that's your chance to define.
You have to have a such a thing, no?
I hear, but again, he doesn't say tashbihus. You know, I'm not convinced.
So we have two options.
I'm saying to either it's his either it's just his svara, it's his understanding of. Of the role of Bittel.
How can you say such a thing from Misvara?
Just it. I don't know. I'm saying, it just, he says it. So, again, I'm just uncomfortable invoking, you know, putting Tashbisu in there if he doesn't say it. So again, even if, let's say...
Is it not your Kiddush to say that he thinks that it's Misvara?
Well, he doesn't say Tashbisu, so I'm just trying to take him at face value. Again, maybe we can come up with a different svar, which is better, but I'm saying, I'm pretty comfortable in my read of that day in the Mechtam as saying that it's not coming from Tashbisu. What the specific svar is, okay, you know, take my svar before, take it or leave it. That I'm fine with. But I'm pretty comfortable with the fact that it's coming from his, just his understanding of Bittel.
Because he should have said Tashbisu?
If he meant it, he should, you know, Rashi, you know. If that's his, if that's what he thinks is the driving force behind the Shita, he should explain that.
There's one thing to say that the key of Tashbisu prevents any backwards movement to say that the Makarver Bittel Klal is Tashbisu.
I know, meaning, I'm saying even if this day in the Mechtam thought that Bittel Medina Afadara was Makayim Tashbisu, it's still from his language, it doesn't seem like that's the reason why it's irreversible. That's all I'm saying.
But just the fact that you have to have a Kurz Madrasa that you could have a bittel that turns it into afar, even if it's not, even if the Makor, even the Kiv isn't driving, no?
I'm saying you have a Makor, you're sure you're going to have a Makor for that, whether that's the Lecha by Rabbi Amatze, or it's the, right, Lecha. Or the my batal with libcha, or tashbisu. Either way, you have a makor for this idea.
No, that's not what I meant.
All I meant was that, meaning in terms of what is telling him that it's irreversible. That's all I meant. You know, for sure he has makor for bittul midin afer da'ara. That's either coming from lecha or tashbisu. I'm just saying the you know the makor for that added nikuda that's irreversible. While Rashi attributes it to the kiyum of tashbisu, I don't see the Mechtam doing that. Okay, the day on the Mechtam doing that. Yes.
Maybe suggest the Mechtam starts in its going with the pasuk to the pesach. As that moment in time, once it comes also to you, it's all about what the pasuk makes it at that time. So it can't be reversed after that point.
Could be. It's funny because. First of all, the Mechtam never says that. I saw a Kasav Kila Bershu Zon. No, a different context. Never says in the context of Bittel. Number one. Number two is that it happens to be that the Rishonim, such as the Ramban and the Ran, the Ramban and Rabbeinu David, who say that, in fact, say it is reversible.
Okay, but I'm saying it could go both ways.
Okay, it could be. Again, I don't... Maybe it's a Derech Limud factor. When I'm bothered by a question, even if like the easiest way to answer the question is by making an akimta in the Rishon, in terms of what he holds, I'd still prefer to work harder or even be left with a question. You know what I'm saying? So I'm saying in this case, since if you have no evidence in the Mechtam that this Deya holds, that the Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara works in terms of preventing the Torah from placing your Rishus, I'm not going to go that way just because I think that's adding to the Mechtam. I mean, that's just like my own inclination. I see that we differ in that regard, and that's fine.
I agree with you in terms of, like, I don't believe in reading into things. It's just, I think it depends on how much you think it's a fetish period.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's fair. Okay, so just in terms of just to fully analyze the shita of the Michtam, just to point out that there are three assumptions of this day in the Michtam, right? This day in the Michtam, which holds that the bittul, which turns it into afar, is going to be matir the achila. Yeah?
How far exactly would the
shita
go? Meaning, would this extend to things that aren't dealing with the issue of the comments per se? Like, if a guy made a net, they're not going to be at all. So, are we going to consider this to be afar, like, even like a physical sense? I mean, that if you ate it, it would be.
Okay. Great question. I'm going to hopefully address that after I mention, let's say, the third assumption, and then we'll get back to your point. Because I think that's a great question, and I think it's dafka in Dinei Chametz. And we'll see. Great question. So there are three assumptions of this day in the Michtam. Assumption number one is that bittul works midin afar da'ara. Right? Pretty simple. It's very clear from his lashon. If you read it again, right, when he formulates the din of bittul, he says, ata shebitla v'asa ka'afra. Right, so it's very clear. Assumption number one is that the michtam, that this day in the michtam, is adopting the bittul midin afar da'ara approach. Okay, so nekuda number one is right. Hanacha number one. Assumption number one. Assumption number two is that the achila doesn't undermine the bittul midin afar da'ara. As pointed out before, you could have said that even if bittul midin afar da'ara originally turns the chametz into afar, you could have said, but once you eat it, right, the eating, we use the term achshave, once the fact that you eat it and you clearly relate to it as chametz and not as afar, you could have said that undermines the bittul. So again, assumption number two is that not only that bittul works midin afar da'ara, but that bittul midin afar da'ara remains and isn't undermined by an achila, meaning that this day in the Mechtam rejects the factor of achshave here. Doesn't think the fact that you were ochel it, the fact that you eat it and seemingly are machshev it as ochel, that's not going to reverse the bittul. That's assumption number two. Now assumption number three, which we'll get to David's point, which is that bittul midin afar da'ara not only impacts the din of ba'ayirah ba'yamatzeh, but it also impacts the din of achila. Meaning, one could have easily argued, and we'll see perhaps the Michtam, the reason why the Michtam argues on this daya, is because others will say, perhaps the Michtam will say, wait a second, the whole notion of bittul midin afar da'ara only works l'inyan the isurim of ba'ayirah ba'yamatzeh. Lo matzinu that the bittul midin afar da'ara affects the isur achila of chametz. And why would I, and why is that, why is that even a possibility to be mechalik between different dinim? Why don't you just say it's davar pashut? Once it affects one din of chametz, it should affect all dinim of chametz. The answer is as follows. I mean, the reason why it's not pashut, the reason why there's an important assumption, is because we've already seen that different dinei chametz have different natures. If you recall, we saw a group of mefarshim within the afar da'ara approach say that while the din of bittul midin afar da'ara, while that neutralizes ba'ayirah ba'yamatzeh, because ba'ayirah ba'yamatzeh is subjective in nature, it isn't mekayim what? Tashbisu. Right? It isn't mekayim tashbisu, because tashbisu is objective in nature and requires a physical objective destruction of the chametz. So just like we saw earlier, that certain mefarshim are willing to say that, one din of chametz is subjective, and therefore nitan to bittul midin afar da'ara, but not necessarily another din, such as tashbisu, you could have said the same thing here, and said, wait a second, maybe bittul midin afar da'ara only gets around, only obviates, only neutralizes ba'ayirah ba'yamatzeh, because ba'ayirah ba'yamatzeh itself is subjective in nature, i.e. arak damashirim. But the isra achila of chametz, mechitesi, that also is subjective in nature. Maybe you could say that's objective, and therefore, one, as long as you have an objective piece of chametz, there's going to be an isra achila associated with it. So therefore, assumption number three of this day on the Michtam is to say that not only is Bayi Matzah subjective in nature and therefore neutralized by Bitl Medina for Dara, but so too the Isra Chila of Chametz is also subjective in nature, and therefore once the person subjectively views the Chametz as Afer Da'ara, so then the Isra Achila, which is also subjective, will Memela fall away. So that's an important, again, three assumptions within this day on the Michtam. Number one, that Bittul works Medina for Da'ara. Number two, the Achila doesn't trigger an Achshavet to undermine the Bittul Medina for Da'ara. And then, which is why, you know, the Michtam, this day on the Michtam is on the current list of the Afer Da'ara being irreversible. And then number three is the assumption that Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara impacts not only the Isra of Bayi Matzah, but also impacts the Isra of Achila, assuming that both of them are subjective in nature. Okay. Oh, so now getting back to David's point, here I'm going. So, if you noticed, the way we explain this, the only way you can justify a particular din being impacted by Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara is if you assume that those dinim at play are subjective. So, you know, Bayi Matzah and according to this, Isra Achila. But if you're coming on to like a neder, which is objective innate, I mean, there's no reason to say it's subjective. I mean, if you're molder hana from an item, we never find that, oh, if you view that item as different, that's going to have an impact on it. So therefore, any other, presumably any other din, such as neder or any other, you know, kultura kula din, which presumably is objective in nature, is for sure not going to be impacted, even according to this day.
Isn't it the same about like a shvuah,
What? You think it goes on the Gavra?
Yeah,
but still, I mean, just because it's, you know, mitzah the Gavra, it doesn't mean that it's subjective. I mean, when we say subjective, we don't mean that, not just that it's, you know, Gavra oriented, but that the person's perspective is Koveya. And if, you know, here we're saying the fact that the person views it as Afar and not Chametz, that's going to be Koveya. This item is not being Chametz. That's more than just saying that a Shivu is an Isra Gavra. But fine. Okay, moving right along. So now we're going to see. So right, so Ankan, we basically saw the basically Rashi and this day in the Michtam who held that Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara is irreversible. So now we're going to see a number of Rishonim, most Mefarshim, most Rishonim within the Afer Da'ara approach, who say that no, even the Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara is going to be reversible through some way. Yeah. It's not true. Tarovas, Chametz Nuksha. Right. So there are class. I hear what you're saying, but there are categories of Chametz which are subject to Isurei Achila, which are not subject to Bayi Matzah. So therefore, okay. Okay. So now the following Rishonim who basically hold that, you know, Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara is reversible. So again, the first one is the Ramban. You might be surprised because yesterday I might have implied that the Ramban was in the other category, but Ephraim, you know, last night, you know, presented me or reminded me to look at the end of the Ramban, where the Ramban clearly assumes that the that Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara is reversible. So again, I didn't assign this because I forgot about it, honestly. So if anyone has the Ramban open, the Ramban Vavamviz, sorry, Daladam Viz, the really long Ramban, the very last paragraph, Dibur Maschil V'Nir and Hadvarim, right, so the Ramban is basically quoting this Rashi on Vav Mevez, again, the whole Pshat and Daiti Lavei being current to us, and the Ramban, in short, is going to reject Rashi and say, basically, right, similar to the Maram Chalava, and is basically going to say that, wait a second, if Daiti Lavei means current das, so then that's going to reverse your Bittul. And the Ramban clearly states, after having adopted the Afer Da'ara approach to Bittul, Ramban is still saying that if the person currently has Das on the Chametz, that's going to reverse the original Bittul, which makes it very clear that the Ramban understands that Bittul Midin Afer Da'ara is reversible. So again, at the very end, this Dirmas Vinir Nadvarim, if you write, first he quotes Rashi, he asks one question, then he asks a second question. It says, Va'od Sh'im Nasan Daito. Depends, anyone have it in the, you got it?
Va'od Sh'im Nasan Daito Alei, Va'achar Zman Yisir V'chas Alei U'ma She'osah, Fila Radot, Stop there.
I'll just translate.
And furthermore, even if you have das on the chametz, after the
zman, or if, meaning if you have current das on the chametz,
even after the zman of iser is chal, and you delay the burning of it even for a second, even though you were mevatel it initially, you're still over bali or avali masir.
Exactly right. Why? Because you reversed it, right? Even though you originally had the perspective of afadara. The fact that right now you daita yilave, right now you view it as chametz and you don't view it as dirt, so therefore that's going to reverse it. And if we go to skip to the last line, it's the kol shekein chametz. And this is what I was referencing to Yehuda Dov. You'll see the kol shekein chametz. You see the last line of the paragraph? See the kol shekein chametz she'eno bitula mitchila? Is that not? Okay. Okay.
Shani chametz she'ein bitula metchila ela bedato shelo ratza bikiyumo. V'chol shechazar v'natan dato alav over hu.
Okay, sorry, but here's the difference. So either way, so shani chametz is different, right? She'ein bitula metchila ela bedato. He said, what's the basis of your original bitul? Your perspective, your mentality, right? Your subjective relationship to the chametz. Shelo ratza bikiyumo, because at that point you didn't relate to the chametz as chametz. But says the Ramban Kilan, the Kol Shechazar.
As long as you retracted your original das and you wanted it, you're over.
You're going to violate. So it's very clear from this Ramban. The Ramban says that the reason why Rashi's pshat can't be right, the reason why Daiti Lave can't be referring to your current das, because then the original bittel wouldn't help. So clearly, right? So it's clear from this Ramban that the Ramban basically thinks that bittel midin afra da'ara is reversible. Which becomes important because now if you go back to an earlier line in the Ramban, which is ambiguous and could be read in two ways, that, you know, it's always important to, you know, you're always trying to figure out what the Shita of a Rishon, it's always very important to, you know, read some lines in light of other lines. Right? Sometimes you have a particular line in a Rishon which is ambiguous, but it's very clear from other lines in that Rishon what a Shita is. In that case, you're going to understand the ambiguous line in light of the clear line. So if you go back to Dira Maschel Elakach, right, at the end of that Dibra Maskel, again, Elakach, where he says, we read yesterday, but he says, V'hacha Adif. I don't have that line, where he explains why Bitl Midin Afra Da'ara is better better than Hefker, better than Bitl Midin Hefker. Go for Adif.
V'hacha Adif Na'im Hefker, Z'lo, 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 Z'lo,
Yeah, so why is Bitl Midin Afra Da'ara better than Bitl Midin Hefker? Oh. So the big question is, originally that I was wondering, is how do you understand the two words de lo hadar? Basically, he says, when it comes to bitul midin afra da'ara, lo hadar. He's not going to retract. So the question is that because he can't retract? And if that was the case, then this Ramban would be aligning with Rashi and saying, yeah, the reason why bitul midin afra da'ara is better than bitul midin hefker is because while bitul midin hefker is reversible, Bitul midin afra da'ara is irreversible. But in light of the later, you know, lines in the Ramban, it seems to be that what the Ramban really means here is d'lo hadar, is that he simply won't go back. I mean, the Ramban holds that if he were to have a change of heart in a chanami, that would reverse the bitul. But all he's saying is that once the person establishes bitul midin afra da'ara, so that will prevent him from changing his mind later. And we'll get back to this in the Michtam, right? All right, this notion that if you declare a bitul midin afra da'ara, that's going to help convince you that's going to help you, you know, relate to the chametz as afar throughout the Pesach and prevent you from relating to it as chametz and prevent you in certain circumstances from eating it according to some mefarshim. So in short, while this line of lo hadar itself is ambiguous, unclear whether that means you can't go back or you won't go back, in light of the later Ramban where it clearly says that bittul is reversible, it seems clear that this line is also saying that lo hadar, that he won't go back, but in Echanami, if he did, he would be reversing the chametz. He would be reversing the bittul. Yeah,
you know? Would you be able to read within that, that maybe the idea is that since he's never... therefore Kinyan Chatzar would automatically keep him in purity over Bishvat Hefter.
Whoa, say it again?
Meaning the Ramban is saying the reason Hefter won't work and why better is the fact that basically the fact that you never removed your dad from the Chamish, you were never in the Vatel, you're just like Kinyan Chatzar will automatically re-kick in when it comes to Hefter. And,
I don't know, automatically, but it could.
Well, since you want it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, therefore, you're going to be over, but when you're mevatel, obviously, that won't happen, because it's not as...
So, when you're mevatel,
it's about not wanting, so it's not about, right, so as long as you, like, it's all about not wanting, basically. So
how are you differing from what we were saying?
I'm saying that when it comes to hefker, you're never... Like even the bottling your doubt from it, you're just making it heftier. You still want it.
Okay.
So the Kenyan Chatzar.
Not that you want it. You don't want it in your rishus.
Well, you don't want it in your rishus, but you still consider it chatzar. So.
Okay, as a chepsel. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So therefore, Kenyan Chatzar automatically re-kick in. And therefore, you're going to be over.
You mean automatically once you have das on it?
Well, automatically after you make it heftier, because it'll still be in your.
You mean like Rabbeinu Menoach ask?
Yeah.
That's not. Now, the whole point of the Ramban is whether you're going to be Hadar Ihu Zachi Bey. It's all about whether you're going to have a change of heart.
So, maybe the idea is to change of heart about the truth, I guess. I guess if you say that the idea of being a Hadar is that you want it in your truth or not, it would be much more likely once you consider a Hadar. I guess along the lines of a year.
Yeah, okay. Fine. All right, so again, it just comes back to whether you're going to end up changing your mind. Yeah, whether you're likely to change your mind.
Yeah.
And he's in essence saying that once you turn it into Afar, you're less likely to change your mind because you just said it's worthless. Okay. It's good. We're on the same page sometimes. Sometimes it takes a little time to realize, but eventually, you know. Okay, good. All right, so again, so let's just get, you know, a little faster pace here. So again, the first Rishon within this approach to say that Bitul Medin Afar Dara is reversible is the Ramban. You put all the Rambans together, that's what seems to emerge. The other Rishon who seems to say this, that the Bitul Medin Afar Dara is reversible, is the Maharam Chalava. Right? The same Maharam Chalava that we read yesterday, if you recall, when Maharam Chalava is speaking about Bitul Medin Afar Dara, which he ends up rejecting, but he says, if Bitul were to be Medin Afar Dara, says the Maharam Chalava, he says, if you were to eat it, that would reverse the Bitul. Emmer, and he says this line, I'll read it right now. He says, the bish lama, right, this is working within the Afar Dara approach. He says, the bish lama be'achila, right? For sure, when it comes to achila, e achole, if you were to eat the chametz, which you're mevatel, ha yahid daite ale lemechshava le'achila ledin chametz, by eating it, you are basically being machshiv, the afar, as chametz. Right? By eating it, you're clearly now relating to it not as afar, but rather as chametz. So therefore, says the Maharam Chalava, if you eat it, that's going to reverse the bittul of Afar Da'ara. So again, the Maharam Chalava is lashon seemingly adopting like this the svara of Achshavei to say that the reason why the achila is going to undermine the bittul is because by eating it, you're machshiv the afar as chametz. So once your achila turns it back into chametz, so now you're going to violate. The Isser Achila, because you basically, in essence, eat chametz, not afar. So again, it's for the Maharam Chalava, the Maharam Chalava holds that Bitul Medin Afar Da'ar is reversible al yedei Achila. Right? If you were to eat it, that's going to trigger a reversal of the original Bitul. But as we pointed out yesterday, the Maharam Chalava does not think that that deriving Hana from the item similarly triggers an Achshaveh. Right, the Maharam Chalava only thinks that eating the chametz will reverse the bittul, but says the Maharam Chalava, if the person just gets hana out of it, that doesn't reverse the bittul. And the question is why? Right, I think we raised this question yesterday, and I think a couple of guys asked me afterwards, what's the difference? You know, just like achila is machshiv, you know, the afar into chametz, so too hana. You know, why do you? You know, you're not looking. You don't get hana from afar. So by getting hana from it, you're also relating to it as chametz. So why doesn't that also reverse the bittul? So the answer I gave yesterday, and I'll repeat it now, is the following idea. Is that the reason, according to Maharam Chalava, that only achila triggers achshaveh is because there is no way to be ochel dirt. Right? No one ever in their right mind eats dirt. Therefore, when you eat this item, you are clearly, right, relating to it as chametz and not dirt. Hana, on the other hand, it is possible there are certain hanos which you can get from dirt. Yesterday we gave some examples. You can use dirt to, you know, I don't know, cover a hole, to for all number of reasons. Right? It's possible to get different types of hana from dirt. Therefore, as a category, right, in, you know, halachic terminology, there, right, a maisa hana is shayach to afar. And therefore, just because you have a maisa hana on the afar, that doesn't prove that you're relating to it as chametz, because you can also get hana from afar. So therefore, even if the particular hana you're getting from it, you know, would be hana, which, you know, it's not shayach to afar, the fact that the category of hana is shayach to afar is going to dictate that ach shaveh is not triggered. Because ach shaveh is only triggered by something like achila, where it's completely incompatible, right? The maisa you're doing is completely incompatible with its current state, right? It's impossible to have an achila on afar, so it must be that you're relating to the afar really as chametz. So therefore, ach shaveh is triggered. But since it's possible to get hana from afar in different ways, so therefore a maisa hana from afar is not automatically relating to the item as chametz. It could be relating to the item as afar, because hana is shayach to afar. In short, yeah.
Why should I care about other things like category of hana if they're actually doing?
Yeah, because a lot of times that's the way just halacha works, is that we deal in categories. A lot of times, like a number of Torah, and this is a larger, you know, methodology piece, but like tons of rise to this idea that a lot of times it's just that's the way it is. And I'm sorry, I know that's not like, you know, like satisfying, but that's just the way a lot of times, you know, Torah institutions work, is like through categories. So we'll leave it at that, but hopefully we'll maybe throughout the summer, however long you stay, we'll come up with other rayos to this idea that it's more like the halacha is generally category based, but there, yeah, that's just the way it works. Yeah. I can't hear it. Yeah.
Do we mean when we say that the pitfall can be reversed, do we mean by this specific piece of chametz, or once you view this specific piece of chametz as chametz, you've broken your subjective view of all chametz now?
Great question. I would say the simple understanding that it's just legabe this piece of chametz, but I hear the tzad, I hear why Misvari would extend it. Again, I think the lashonas of the Rishonim implied that it's limited to the chametz at hand, but I hear the tzad to say, because, you know, once you're relating to one piece of chametz as, you know, as chametz and not offer, I hear why you'd be nitan, you know, to undermine the entire thing. But again, it would be interesting to revisit the Rishonim with that in mind, but I don't recall anyone saying that. That's a great point. Okay? Oh, so moving on. So again, so far within the group of Rishonim who say that Bitul Medin Afer Da'ara is reversible, we've had the Ramban and we've had the Ram Chalava. So now let's go back to the Sefer HaMichtam itself. And it's actually very important to look at the Lashon HaMichtam, right? Because the Michtam himself rejects the Heter that he quotes, right? He first quotes the Deya, which says that once you do Bitul Medin Afer Da'ara, it's then mutter to eat the Chametz. And now comes along the Michtam to say, that's impossible. But at first glance, you say, oh, so the Michtam is exactly like the Maram Chalav, it's just it didn't Akshaveh. But we're going to see that while the Maram Chalav's Lashon was clearly Akshaveh, we're going to see that the Michtam's Lashon is more vague, and therefore is going to, you know, leave open the possibility for an alternative understanding. Yeah.
Is Maram Chalav any different from Rashi? Because Rashi would also hold that by a Fila, you'd still be over the Zerah Machila.
Is Naram Chalava, I guess, perhaps nafkamina for Bayer Bayer Monsai, maybe?
That according to Naram.
Oh, you're saying once, you say you already ate it?
Yeah.
You're saying if we're right, that Rashi Bapashas agrees that if you eat it, it'll be over the Isser of Achila, I guess that would tie into, I guess Yaakov would be the nafkamina. Meaning, not Yaakov, but Yaakov's idea would be the nafkamina in the sense that if you held that the Ach Shveh also affected other pieces of Chametz, So then the nafkamina would be, meaning whether you violate by Rabbi Matzah and other pieces of chametz. Because Rashi clearly holds that no, once you did bittel, there's no by Rabbi Matzah at all. And the michtam is seemingly holding, sorry, the marm chalava is seemingly holding that you're going to reverse the bittel. And therefore, if the reversal of the bittel is limited to the chametz at hand, then there's just no mitzias of by Rabbi Matzah because it's already in your stomach. But if the reversal would affect other pieces of chametz, then you could have that would be the difference. But again, that all depends on Yaakov's other har. First Binyamin and then I'm saying Bar Yabai is not shayach, it's in your stomach. You're right, theoretically you would. But I'm saying the only time there would be an actual nafkamina is if you accepted Yaakov's assumption that the reversal is not just limited to that which you ate, but also reverse it, the bittul for other pieces of chametz. Is you over by Rabbi Matzah while you're chewing it?
Yeah,
I guess we have to, But at that point, it might be nifsal miachilas kelav. At which point, you're not over by Rabbi Matzah. So, you have to figure out if there's like a split second in between it becoming, if the chewing, you triggered achshave and it's not yet nifsal miachilas kelav. Perhaps, yeah.
A little bit further. Why does the intention to eat it itself?
It sounds from the Rishonim it's the going through the action of actually doing it. That's what does it. That's what it sounds like. Right? It's very important. All these Rishonim who say bittul's reversible sounds like not simply, not all of them. I'd say great point. There's a chilik between the Rishonim that we just saw. The Ramban, for instance, remember the context is Daiti Leve. According to the Ramban, just the fact that you have Daiti Leve, remember he's rejecting Rashi, just the fact you have Daiti Leve, that itself would trigger a reversal for the Ramban. That's different than the Ram Chalava, who says what triggers the reversal is Dafka Nachila. So it's very important to pay, again, although we're grouping all these Rishonim on this list of saying that Bittul is reversible, very important to pay careful attention to what triggers that reversal. For the Ramban, it's a change of heart alone. For the Ram Chalava, and we'll see the Michtam, it's the Achila, and we'll see if we get to it. The Tosas Rid is going to say just the fact that you have intention to be zoche in it, that itself will trigger. So again, it's very important to pay careful attention to the Lishonos and the Vishonim, all of them taking different, have different wrinkles on what triggers this reversal. So let's just do the Sefer Mechtam. So if you look very carefully at the Lashon of the Mechtam, how does he reject this? He rejects it pretty strongly. He says, V'hai Perusha Lesa Klal. Anybody have the Lashon of the Mechtam? See, do you have it? Let's have a Kovetz, Yair? No one? Okay, anyone else besides your Ephraim? That's the same usual suspects, which I appreciate, but I want to keep other people involved. But yeah.
Slow.
V'hai
Perusha Lesa Klal. This explanation has no merit.
Exactly. Right, this is why I was very careful to not attribute this day to the Mechtam. The Mechtam says, and just because I quoted him doesn't mean you should attribute it to me. I think this is, this doesn't make any sense at all. Very, pay careful attention to this lashon. Oh. So it's pretty vague. All the Mechtam says is that because bittul has no effect on the Isra Achila. So the way this Mechtam is generally understood is that, the Mechtam is just like the Ram Chalava, it's a Din Achshave. That the reason why Bittul doesn't affect Achila is because once you eat it, you trigger Achshave, right? You transform the dirt back into Chametz by eating it. And that's definitely a plausible, possible interpretation of the Mechtam. But it's important to note, the Mechtam doesn't utilize the Lashon of Achshave like the Ram Chalava does, when the Ram Chalava says, right? Yayiv Daiti Alei Lemechshava LaAchila. Right? He even invokes that Lashon of Achshave. Mechtam, though, just says, literally, right? The literal translation is that, the Ein Bittul Moel Ve'Eino Matzel Mechia VaAchila. Bittul doesn't work for the Isra Achila. So I think it's possible to offer an alternative, which is to say, nothing to do with Achshave. And that is, like we were hinting to before, that perhaps, according to the Mechtam, the reason why Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara doesn't allow you to eat it, because Bittul Midin Afra Da'ara is limited to the Isurim of Ba'yira Ba'yamatze, which are subjective, we'll add, But Bitul Midin Afer Da'ara has no impact on the Isra Achila, because the Isra Achila, in stark contrast to Bar Matzeh, is objective in orientation in nature. And because the Isra Achila is objective in nature, so therefore, as long as you have objectively you have a piece of chametz here, that's going to be subject to an Isra Achila. Doesn't matter that you subjectively relate to it as afar. Lemaisa objectively is a piece of chametz here, the Isra Achila is going to pertain to it. So again, according to this explanation, it's not that, the eating is machshavit and and reverses the bittel. According to this explanation, it has nothing to do with reversing bittel. It has to do with a completely different idea, that bittel me'ikara never was mafkia the shem chametz le'inyin Isra Achila. That was a very fancy way of saying. That is a very lumdish way of saying. That the din of bitul midin afer da'ara, which is all subjective, is limited to the realm of the Isurim of Bayar of Vayamatze, which themselves are subjective, but doesn't have any impact on the realm of the Isra Achila, because the Isra Achila is objective in nature. And that would be an alternative understanding of the Michtam, which would mean that the Michtam is not necessarily on the current list of Rishonim who think that bitul midin afer da'ara is reversible, because according to this explanation, it's not that it's reversible, it's just that bitul me'ikara never had an impact on the realm of the Isra Achila. Yeah.
Has the Michtam been moved around in the Kiddush Kafir Seilah Matzah?
1 second. According to the Michtam, the point of the next line. Let's just read it. The next line of the Michtam explains. So what's the pshat? Forget that. You should ask what's the point of the bittul originally. It's the same question. All right, what's the role of bittul? So the role of bittul, according to the Michtam, is that by declaring that it's dirt, that's going to prevent you from ever eating it. What? It's like exactly the Mios factor. Right, once you get up there and declare, oh, this is dirt in my eyes, so that's going to have a psychological effect on you. Like, yeah, to me, this is dirt, I would never touch it. So again, because according to the Michtam, the only way for Bittel to neutralize the Chashash Achila, once it's not Matur the Achila, the only way it can neutralize the Chashash Achila is by preventing you from ever eating it. And that's what he's going to end up saying. Yeah. One more time? You're saying once it's not really about a din bittul, it's just about a way of having a psychological effect on you? Is that what you're saying? That's a good question. You're on a roll. Right? I guess the only way it's going to have a psychological effect on you if you know that you're doing something legitimate, which is also fascinating. Psychological factor. Like the only way that the proclamation of bittul is going to have an effect on your psyche is if you know you're doing something legitimate, and you know you're actually turning into afar. And the only time you're actually turning into afar is before Shas Esok. I think that's the idea.
So then there is a non-aspect.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's a not meaning bittul has an effect. Bittul, according to everyone, neutralizes by matzah. We're just saying, but how does it neutralize? How does it specifically neutralize the chashash, shami imsa gluska yafe? It sounds like it only has teeth, even on a psychological realm, if it's actually doing something legitimate, which is a very important idea. Just before we close, I'll take questions right afterwards, and because I just want to, I want next week to be able to just pick up on the next topic, and we'll. The Tosa Rid, who's the last shita that we're going to be doing, the last shita within this approach, it says that bittul is reversible. The Tosa Rid has a very interesting line where he says that, right, he has one, daya, which says the chashash of, gluska yafa v'daiti lavei, is that daiti lavei, you're going to have das on it to sell it to a goy. It's a very strange idea, right? You're going to have das on it to be kone it to then sell it to a goy. Okay, very creative. But then the Tosa Rid then rejects that and says, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Because if you have das on it to sell it to a guy, so then that das to be kona it to sell it to a guy is going to reverse the bittul. which is a very interesting idea, that the Tosu Rid, again, agrees with all these Rishonim that Bittul Midin Afradara is reversible, but he says, and I would just have different versions of what triggers the reversibility. Again, the Ramban, it was just Mir Das, right? Daiti Lavei Stam. According to the Maram Chalava and possibly the Michtam, it's the Achila which triggers it. Right? And now, according to the Tosu Rid, what triggers it is Das Liskospo. Right, the fact that you have das to be zoch in it, that triggers it. Sounds like it's a form of achshavei, because you never want to be zoch in dirt. So the fact that you want to be zoch in this item, that's like machshavit as chametz. Because the fact that you're being zoch and you have das to be kone, when would you ever be kone dirt? So it must be that you're related through your das to be zoch. It must be that you're relating to the item as chametz, and therefore that reverses the bittul. So again, Tosu Rid is in line with these other Rishonim, but again has a slightly different take on what is the factor which reverses the bittul midin afredara. And if you're wondering where in the Tosu Rid does he ever say that bittul is working midin afredara, the answer is we don't know from the Tosu Rid, but had you quickly see the Piskei Rid, if you look at the Piskei Rid written by the same person, his nusach of bittul, and with this we'll conclude, his nusach of bittul only mentions the lashon of afer da'ara and never mentions the lashon of hefker. So the implication of the Piskei Arid and his nusach of bittul, which only has the nusach of afer da'ara and doesn't mention the term hefker, implies that the rid adopts the afer da'ara approach, and yet, so therefore when he says that das liskospo reverses the bittul, it's not simply a reacquisition which undermines the bittul midin hefker, because he doesn't accept that approach, it's rather that the das liskospo triggers its own form of akshavei, because the fact that you want to be zochi in the item proves that you're not relating to it as afar, but rather as chametz. So we'll stop here for muster. I'm sorry we went a minute over it, and we'll pick up next time on the next section.
I wrote both, well, there's no force.